Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the high-level audio experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
I'm always trying to go to the root of what my problem is. What's really going on with me? I'm living the results of the problems, but I'm not connected to the root of it. So when I go through the shadows of myself, that part of me that I don't show the public, that I might be hiding behind, that I don't want to deal with, now I'm dealing with the real me. That's the real enemy. Everybody else, that's just playtime. And when you feel like a man, you are in the proper state of mind, meaning you have full control over your faculties, meaning that you feel like you can take a thought that's in your mind, and you can bring it into reality. If you can't do that, you're not gonna ever feel like a man, and you're always gonna have coping mechanisms for that lack of fulfillment of that ability to stimulate yourself through the production of your thoughts.
My brother has been all around the world. I've watched this brother turn his reality into everything that he thought of. And everything that he thought of became his reality. I've been in rooms where people have spoke of this man. And I sat back because of the close proximity to our friendship and our relationship and was like, damn, that nigga that big? that nigga huge, huh? And you know, when you know somebody, you be like, man, that's Stanley, blood. Like people that grow with me be like, man, I don't care about fat nigga, that's Stanley, man. That's my, you feel me? I ain't tripping on that. But sometimes when you stand so close to a giant, you forget how tall they are. And then you got to step to the side and be like, damn, that nigga is tall. I love this dude, man. I love this dude because this dude is authentically himself everywhere he goes. And everywhere he walks, he represents the brotherhood. He represents the teachings of our wise ones. And he himself has become one of the wise ones of our generation and leading the thought process and the travel to show brothers, if we can get here, we have to utilize our minds to continue to keep unlocking doors. Therefore, the key The key to life is the knowledge. The knowledge, the power, the wisdom. And I need y'all to say this with me. The love. The support.
The support.
And the respect.
The respect.
I need everybody to give a warm welcome to my brother, 19 Keys.
First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you all for showing up, and I want to thank the host of this event for utilizing this space, and Mr. Fab for inviting me. I've been telling him for a long time I wanted to do something in Oakland, and so today I had to show up. I didn't have a topic that was preconceived because I didn't know what type of event that it was going to be. And this one already is more powerful than I thought that it was going to be. Yes, sir. Seeing the circles of men, being able to speak to each other, providing that space to where you finally get to feel seen or heard, voiced, because the rest of the world don't care. A black man is alone when dealing with his problems. And so the rest of the world may be pushing an agenda for everybody else's equality and progress as if yours have changed, as if your numbers have gotten better in cancer areas, in violence, in mental health issues, in incarceration, high blood pressure. We rank number one in all those areas. But I've never seen a march for it. So the black man is the one man on the planet Earth that always has the march for himself. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaks upon attitude. And the attitude that you have in life is a direct determinant to how you live life and how far you go in life. Because attitude creates your position and your disposition. But your attitude is directly informed by your faith and your belief. And then that belief is programmed. But who programs your belief sets your law and your standard and your foundation of how you live and how far you go. Some of you all have had a coach that told you, man, you got the wrong attitude for this. But the root of how that attitude was cast and created into a firm belief, now you're stuck in this crystallization of an emotion, and you bring that energy where you go. And that attitude can take you out of an opportunity. So when I think about my life, because I grew up in Oakland, and my attitude towards life probably has been my greatest gift in life. I've seen and experienced every childhood adverse experience almost that you could have, right? You grow up in environments of violence, incarceration. You grow up in environments where your parents have separated and his drug use and everything that you can possibly name. We dealt with poverty. We dealt with every single thing. But I never dealt with having a bad perspective on life because from an early age, I was taught that I was a god. So when people ask me what I do, I tell them I do what I want. And then if you need proof of me doing what I want, then look at the results of what I do and what my will produces from my mind. Because a man is not a man if he does not in the right mind. That's why sometimes we need to be what? Reminded who we are. Sometimes we need a readjustment on who we are because we get lost within ourselves and we don't feel like men. And when you feel like a man, you are in the proper state of mind, meaning you have full control over your faculties, meaning that you feel like you can take a thought that's in your mind and you can bring it into reality. If you can't do that, you're not going to ever feel like a man, and you're always going to have coping mechanisms for that lack of fulfillment of that ability to stimulate yourself through the production of your thoughts. So when we're not in that space and we procrastinating instead of procreating and we sitting down and we having a thought and idea we want to do, but we end up spending all that time on the couch and smoking, drinking, going out because we're trying to fill that void to stimulate us the way producing a thought in reality would. So we do it through a woman. We do it through drugs. We do it through fast living. We do it through all of these different coping mechanisms because we don't want to deal with the fact that our mind isn't working. So I've dealt with that throughout life. Why am I lazy right now? Why is my body being frozen and I'm just stuck in my thoughts thinking about how lazy I am? Why am I trying to be stimulated with her because I'm not finding the stimulated within because that God body inside me not activated? I got all these visions, and instead of producing them out, I'm stuck in the imagination of my potential instead of living the reality of that life. So for me, I'm always trying to go to the root of what my problem is. What's really going on with me? Because I'm living the results of the problems, but I'm not connected to the root of it. So when I go through the shadows of myself, that part of me that I don't show the public, that I might be hiding behind, that I don't want to deal with, now I'm dealing with the real me. That's the real enemy. Everybody else, that's just playtime. But how you deal with yourself, how you deal with your perspectives, how you deal with your attitudes, how you deal with your feelings, right? How you deal with your inadequacies, your flaws, all of those things you should have been further in life. There's not enough. Nobody cares. All those feelings, those are the ones you bottle up. And if you don't have a good expression towards that, it turns into something toxic. It got to. Because there's toxic and there's tonic. Things that are tonic for you is good. Things that are toxic for you are not good. They don't have alignment. So we, at a first base level, for men, is mastering the sexual urges. It's fasting. So I had to think, I said, why am I so lustful? Because lust is a feeling, where love is an action. You supposed to feel attracted to a woman, that's a feeling. But when you act off things, then that's control and you don't have power of your own impulse. So I said, wait a minute. What is that feeling that I get when I'm producing something? I got a thought, it's in my head. I get excited about it. Then I go to work and then I produce that. And now that feeling, not just the destination, but the process of doing it, like, bro, you on this journey. You executing every day. You diligent, you disciplined, you willful, you powerful, you focus. Now, when I do that, it's orgasmic. That's the way God procreates. We don't have a womb, not in our body. We got a womb in our mind. And when we cannot produce, we procrastinate. And procrastination is the abortion clinic of ideas. So we get stuck because we don't want to get past the pain, because that same area that makes you feel painful in the brain lights up when it's time for you to go do something. And instead of getting into flow, you know what? I'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow becomes never. And so now you living in all the regressive things that you never done. Just thinking about all the times that you wasted your life instead of being productive with life. So for me, I set different laws that I live by. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the first law of the universe is motion. We hear it all the time. I got me some motion. Yeah, motion means you alive, right? Because only dead men don't move. You know somebody dead if they ain't making no moves. But it ain't just having motion, because everybody is moving. Everybody complaining, talking, bragging about motion. All right. But you never got to the second law, which is order. If you don't put the motion in order, it's just chaos. So in the black communities, unfortunately, we got a lot of motion. We getting money. You feel me? We building things, but we don't put it in order to organize, to build an institution. So therefore, when you talk about that cultural nepotism, we have nothing to pass down. So I don't need many clap. I feel good just being in here with y'all, because this, I grew up in Oakland where we had FOI meetings, and this is how we would sit around and confer. You feel me? We would cipher. We would fellowship. We would build. You feel me? The brothers get in a circle and then they would box. It was somebody was doing something wrong on post and they might get beat down at the FOI circle. You feel me? You get searched before you get in here and you get checked at the door to make sure you're coming in with the right attitude. Right? Everything always went back to it. So when people don't understand me, they not supposed to, because I'm rare. I'll never go around the world waiting to be understood. No, I just want to make sure I have an understanding. Right? And the only way to have that understanding is to be self-aware. If you don't have that self-awareness, number one, the first level of thinking is through survival. The mind has one job. That's to protect you and keep you alive. That's the first level. So when you're in survival mode, all you're thinking about is from your perspective. I need to eat. I got to get this. And when you're thinking from survival, you only think this big. You can't see nothing else, right? You walk in a room, and a room could be about $1 million moves. And all you thinking about, man, I need to pay this goddamn bill next week, though. Fuck what bruh talking about. But when you thinking bigger, you actually hear more, right? Because you're thinking about the future. So now, when you thinking farther ahead, now you can see a bigger vision. They call it blue sky thinking, right? Where you thinking not based on your resources, because your resources make you feel limited. I mean, I ain't got no money. I can't do nothing. Well, how would you think if you had unlimited resources? Those are the thoughts worth going after. Everything else is that we cut down and we edit. Because it's like, wait a minute, I can't do that. All of them can't. And then even when you fulfill that thought that was cut down, there's no fulfillment in it. Because your original thought was your God mind. The rest is what the world limits you. Your circumstances limit you. So what I always do is I go into the mind, the imagination. I said, wait a minute, we giving a mind where it don't matter what resources we have, we can conjure and craft and visualize any thought into reality. So I go in my mind, I'm not thinking about how much money I got. I'm not thinking about none of those things, a lack of resources. If I can think it here, then it's possible to will here. Everything is created twice, first in your mind, then in reality. So as I operate with that, whether it's building a business, I got to crystallize that vision. Then second, I got to operate with the law of written clarity. I got to write it down. Because if I write it down and I can structure my thought and I can put order to it, now anytime I get to a point I don't know what to do next, what do I need to do? Simple, I need to learn. Anytime you get, I don't know what to do, learn. You know what to do now. Anytime you get to that point in your journey, I don't know what to do. All right, that journey is informing you to learn. Go educate yourself. Because now when you know, you can do. And one of the greatest factors between all people, Asian, Black, whites, Mexican, is education levels is directly proportionate to income levels. The more you know, the more you can do, right? So when I come to a point I don't know something and I'm stuck, now what it makes me want to do is procrastinate because I feel lack, right? So instead, no, I need to learn. That's where the grit comes in. When you got that grit, which a lot of men are lacking, is a lot of that grit. You feel me? There's a story about a soldier who was given a mission and he had to take this letter to Garcia. And he was given the order by a general, say, take this letter and I need you to go deliver it to this other general across this field. Now, the battleground was dangerous, but he didn't ask, how am I going to get it done, man? Hold on, I ain't got enough, man. What this mean? What's in the letter? How am I going to get this done? I don't know how to do it. No, the soldier just took the letter to Garcia and they was able to win the war. But today, a lot of people don't have the grit, the perseverance, the self-confidence, right, to use what they have to get to where they want to be. Me, I don't like being asked questions that's Googleable. You got ChatGPT and AI, and you still waiting on somebody else to be your excuse. You feel me? Like, that's the way I think about it now. So when I have somebody, well, I didn't do this for you, so you didn't get it done. No, you got a mind, don't you? You can't tell me there's a single thing on the planet Earth in the universe more powerful than a well-working mind. So if you broke, it just means you're not working, right? So I would never speak that over myself or over my life, because there's a lot of people who may not have money, but they ain't broke because they working. It's a completely different operation. So even a genius that don't work is useless. And working is when the functionality meets the operation. So we have families that don't work because they don't have functions for them. Right? I got a family business. I had to fire one of my younger brothers. He got into it with my sister. They tripping. I'm always trying to give him another opportunity. She can't deal with him. He cursing her out. He kind of bipolar in the mind. I let him go and I didn't want to because I already knew where it was headed. A week later, now he in jail and I got to pay his lawyer fees. So being able to have that foresight, but then understanding that people got to go through those lessons because it could have been worse. He could have been trying to rob somebody and got shot in the head. And now I'm planning his funeral. And what I learned in life is you can't push nobody farther than they're ready. So I can see all the goddamn potential in the world for you. But he ain't had the right attitude. He didn't see the opportunity that I was providing him. I tell him, bro, this is your business, not my business. This business literally solely exists. I'm paying you more than what you actually worth. Right? It solely exists so that my family is good. I ain't making no money from this. If anything, it's taking money away. I can go hire a Mexican for $10. No disrespect to my Mexican brothers.
I see you back there, man. Y'all like, wait a minute. What's the job? No.
No, but it's real because when people too close to the light, they get blinded by it. As my brother Fab was talking about with the giant analogy. So the person that creates the opportunity is like the LeBron in the family. Everybody else, if they build around that, that's a foundation. Right? The problem is families start competing with each other instead of working in the operation. Let me know what you can do that can add to this, and I need you to see things that I'm not seeing because I'm too busy building the thing up. If you would have looked at it like his own business and went in there with the right attitude, you get to make your own schedule. All you got to do is making sure the business is flowing and operated. I'm doing all of the expenses. I'm handling everything else on the back end. Employees most of the time don't have the right mind. I tell people go to a job and steal the knowledge and the experience. The dollar you paying your bills with. But everything you take in experience, everything you take in responsibilities, you can use for yourself. So when I worked the job, I stole all of the knowledge I can possibly get. Then I went and started my own thing. I met Mr. Fab working at a job. Gave him a 50% discount and everything. Because I'm player with it. You know what I'm talking about? He ain't even had to ask. 50%, it was their product. Nobody do that. You know what I'm saying? But I understood another thing in life is that it's your connections in life, right? That was years ago. But now we're able to do business together. Now we're able to have this connection and affiliation towards each other to where I can come in this circle and talk to one of you all to where I don't know whose mind is really receiving this today. And it was exactly what they need because this was their last day. And now they got an extension. You never know. I always think about that. I got six brothers. And I'm grateful every single day that we just alive. Because we grew up in St. Louis and Oakland. So you ain't get a break going from neither one back and forth. I'm like, damn, y'all could at least one of them could have been like something nice. It's Oakland and St. Louis, like just hood hopping at this point. It was dangerous. What? But we got taught so many lessons, and I hate to see where my older brother is now because he was 16 when he graduated from high school. We went to Talladega College, and there he was the youngest person in the college, and that college was basically like one big hood, and I see people that judge black men for where they are today, but they don't know none of their story, right? You don't know every single thing, every single trauma, every single person that they done lost. Every time you had to constantly add all this bravado on you just to survive. And it's so layered, you don't even know the real you. All you know is the survivor in you. That's all the perspective that you have now. I need to walk outside with all of this on me. I don't need nobody to see the real me because if they did, they'll see a little boy scared. When I went to Ghana, it was the first time in my entire life that I felt that level of safety ever. And I ain't even understand it. I'm surrounded by all black people. And I'm walking around with this, like, this energy on me because you know how it is. But they like, bro, like, relax. It's like they can, like, see, spiritually see my armor. I'm walking in like, man, what's going on, man? And they, how you doing, sir? Big ass dudes, nice as hell. How you doing, brother? Can I take a picture? I'm like, this is different. But it was a level of safety to where my nervous system was able to thaw out because our nervous system frees up. When we're constantly in environments where we feel unsafe. And in America, the more you get, the less safe you feel. Because now you got something that people want to take. Now you got to have resources just to protect what you build. Right? Not only is your brother looking at you with the wrong attitude and perspective because he want what you don't have. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we become thieves when we stop believing in our own ability to manifest. So when we're around people that don't believe in their own abilities, they want to take what you have so they can feel like you. So when I got out of America, I felt so disconnected from all the politics in America. I said, I just realized that this shit is really small. I'm like, why am I going back? I need some money. You know what I'm saying? America is where you make money. The rest of the world be living, though. America is just one big ass factory from when we're school. Right? Until while we live in, and they try to tell you to retire to just work in the system as human capital for somebody else's energy. Because the foundation of America is slavery. Just using human being energy. They don't give a damn about you having joy. They don't care about you living and feeling safe. They don't care about you having a certain quality of life. They don't care about none of that. We need your energy to feed our machine so that we can live. That's it. And everybody else is just cattle for the slave. And we operate talking about we goats, but really want to be wolves. We want to be shepherds. You know what I'm saying? A goat is very vulnerable. That's why they always going at each other. The wolves, they the ones orchestrating everything. The shepherds is the ones that lead the way. So for me, as I start operating around the world, hell yeah, this is a dangerous thing that I do. Then on top of that, I ain't found a single black man in America that has made it before me or after me to ever offer any investment. So now you, on top of trying to get a truth out there, trying to speak and do things that illuminate your spirit, you got to make money, you got to build network, you got to have resources, you got to have your own mental well-being, your family's mental well-being. There's so many different things that is required to have a well-working mind and to operate successfully. But all people see is the results. So for me, I don't feel like I was given anything more than the next person besides the ability to transmute trauma. I turn all my darkness into something light. Every single thing. And if I didn't go through nothing, I have nothing to offer. The more you go through, the more you can help others going through the same thing. Now it gives you more perspective in different dimensions. Remember I said that first level of thinking you see from you. When you go through, now you can see what others are seeing. Now you can see, that's the second. Now you're seeing from other people's perspective how they see you. So now you get to operate in the world controlling the perspective of others, right? Then you go even further and you see how everybody else is looking at y'all. Then you go further and you start to understand the dynamics of the connections between y'all. Now you're not just going for motion. You're trying to create order because we get caught up in the magic. Man, we can create. Oh, we're powerful. We can create this art. We can create this music. We can just whip up nothing and turn it into something. White boys don't be that goddamn brilliant. They just understand systems. They put together a funnel system for everything that they do. And they don't need to create 1,000 different flavors for lemonade. They say, give me one good one. I'm going to put a system and sell it 1,000,000 times. And that usually that magic comes from you. They put science behind it. Then they start building and making millions. Because we don't know how to manage our energy to put it in structure and put it into order. Right? The brother Nuri has a beautiful book called The Mathematical Mind. And one of the premises of the book is how to develop your gifts. And one of those gifts is being able to tune in to other people's thoughts. And on the premise of it, he say cleanliness is not next to godliness. Cleanliness is godliness, right? Because when you have a clean mind, it's a tonic mind, right? When you got that tonic mind, now it's a sonic mind. Now it's moving. The problem is we are in environments to where even if our nature is strong and is powerful and it wants to build, but the nature of our environments is in chaos. So therefore, we are mimickers of our environment. We mirror the things around us. So if I'm around other people who ain't in growth, if I'm around other people who ain't healing, I'm around other people who ain't got their shit together, I won't have mine. Or I'm creating friction and I'm making it 10 times harder for me to do it. So being able to have a clean mind, first start with literally cleaning up the body, cleaning up the environment. When you have a clean environment, now you can think and your thoughts can become ordered. Then when you're talking about cleaning up what you see, what is it that I intake visually every single day? Right? Because that feeds the mind as well. Then we have to clean up what we hear. Is the music, is the frequency that I'm listening to connected to that which I want to create? I say I want to have a better relationship, but all my music is fuck these bitches and my baby mama. So if you don't clean up what you're listening to, and you ain't got to do it for my sake, I don't care if you care about, you know, this stuff, conscious, this science. No, you know you got a problem in your life, and you know you need solutions. So when you can clean up what you see, you clean up what you hear, you clean up the way you speak, because every level of consciousness comes with a new vocabulary. When you broke, you're going to speak a certain way. Wealthy people don't speak the same. They speak in investments. They speak in return on their assets. They talk about money in percentages. It's a different language, right? It's a completely different operation. So for me, I'm always thinking like, damn, my current language is directly proportionate to my current level. And it lets me know how far I can go in life. So then I start learning to add more thoughts into my mind to where now I can speak things into existence. Because language is just not words, it's the expression of your actions. How's your body moving? What are you doing every day? So when I think about all of those different ways that I need to clean up my life, and once I do that, I start to find things in order. Now my business is picking up because now I can see things correctly. Sometimes we get caught up in just the motion. That's efficiency, doing the same thing over and over. But the goal is to be more effective. How do I get there in a shorter amount of time with the same amount of work? So what I'm always trying to teach our people is effectiveness and innovation. We live in a day and age where this is probably the most powerful and most dangerous time to live in. If you could probably pick one of the greatest years to make the most amount of money with the most amount of technological revolutions and the most amount of access to tools, this will be one of those years. Last year would be one of those years. Now you got to ask yourself, wait a minute. I woke up and I'm in this year. And 30 years from now, people will be like, what the fuck was you doing when this was happening? You was at the peak when they just started laying out the foundations of things, and you telling me, and not one point in time did none of these opportunities come across your desk, and you ain't operate off none of them. And then 10 years later, we go be complaining about what the white man didn't do for us or what he did to us instead of what we did for ourselves. Because we got such an attitude towards each other when we try to unite, it never works because we don't believe in each other enough to have a black leader. They've done such a good job at making you disbelieve in yourself that you don't trust your brother. So what you do is you try to find something wrong with them. Then you start tearing away at it. Oh, he a Muslim. Oh, he do this. They doing this, that, and the third. We got to completely tear it away because that lack of belief in yourself makes me feel confident. Oh, I'm right. That's why I couldn't do it, because he couldn't do it either. So now it's that comparative analysis.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Get it all the time, but I ignore it because I understand our people. I understand that your level of maturity informs your reality. That you haven't even got to the point where you have the right attitude to even see things. You're not even approaching this right. So if somebody got a bad attitude, they heard something about you, by the time they meet you, then, what's up? Damn, what's wrong with you? You feel me? It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's about whoever established your attitude, your thoughts and your feelings and your disposition. So now you being controlled by your feelings instead of operating in your thoughts. So now you can't even think clearly. And the media is the one who controls the operations of our feelings. So they then control our attitude because they don't want us to have this attitude like, man, we can use tech. Man, we can connect with each other. We can use our money and this go work. First time you say that, we start talking about Black Wall Street 100 years ago burning down. So we approach our progress and our evolution with the wrong attitude. And you can only work with people in a circle. When you're working with people in a circle and they all have the right attitude, they're pouring energy into that thing and giving it structure and giving it life. But when you got one person in that circle, they're like, I don't know if this is going to work. It's not going to work. Not until you get rid of that weak link. So for me, my whole entire thing is always making sure everybody in my circle has the right attitude. Then I have to think about how am I informing my household and how am I creating their attitude? Because your belief is your law. It sets the standard of your reality and how you live and move forward in life. So if my children got an attitude, my wife got an attitude, my girl got an attitude, the homies got an attitude, what am I doing to inform them of that attitude that they have? I can't be reacting to the attitude that I'm creating in them. So when you become a powerful, now you start operating to where you become a master. We don't have enough expertise and mastery in our community, just a bunch of people with motion. Mastery comes from having complete and total control over a subject or a thing. Expertise is just having study in it. So you can study something for 10,000 hours. You can study something for a few months. You're an expert in it. You know more than the next person to where you can teach them. The first level is every man should be an expert at something and should be developing to become a master at something. But if you never master yourself, you can't master shit. First slave that you got to have under you is yourself. You tell yourself, I don't feel like smoking. I'm done smoking, man. I'm quit. I heard 19 Keys. He said, fuck this shit. I'm on my ding. I'm going to get the brothers with the bean pies. We're going to lock in. Next week, you're picking up the blunt and you don't know how to stop yourself because you are a slave to your habits. You can inform yourself. You can tell you, man, I'm done with that. I ain't doing this. Habits like shit. You ain't put in that kind of work to change what we do. You a slave to your habits. And it ain't till you change your environment, you change those diets of things that build up your habits to where you can change your life. And a lot of those things, they're so deep inside of you. I had to go sit down and do some real work on myself one day. For me, I look at stillness and silence like darkness. It's going back into the womb. I need to go back into the womb where I've been programmed. I go back into my old thoughts and I think about why did I do things, right? There's a level of forgiving myself for the things that I done been through or stuff that I done did in my past and understanding the why, because now I have power over it because your shadow self, it ain't nothing you can hide from. It requires an integration. And you know that shadow self because you got your public self, you put on your fly clothes and this is how I want everybody to see me. That's your public persona. Then your private self is when you go home and who you really are when you look in that mirror. Those problems you really deal with when you take all of that off. That's your private self. But the problem is when you in public, your private self is always operating too. And you trying to ignore it. So it's not until you really go back and deal with those things to where you can move forward. And so we don't know why we got all these problems and all these issues because we don't really want to deal with it because it's too painful. They have something called the Peter Pan syndrome. That Peter Pan syndrome is when you are a boy and you live in the adolescence of your dreams. The dreams when you were a kid, it feels so good. You get to live in a dream world where somebody manages everything for you. Father manages it, your mother, they manage your protection, your finances, everything. You don't want to go into the real world. You got to pay taxes. You might have to fight some folks. You might got to build a business and then incorporate it and go through those steps and educate and learn and build networks. So what happens is the boys say, nah, I don't want to grow up. It's too hard. I'd rather be under the bosom of my mother. Protect me from the world. Only way to defeat that is to go through rites of passage, which is a preparation for the world. So it tells you that, okay, you now can go out there and fend for your own. You can get your own food. You can protect yourself. You can manage yourself. So now you're breaking that bubble that you've been in with your mother and your father inside the household. And right now is mostly the mother. So you feel like you're inside this womb and you develop these attitudes about reality. It's too hard. These young men don't want to be men nowadays. Look at the way that the media informs the attitude about being a man. So the attitude about becoming a full, productive man and going out and dealing with the world, being assertive, saying what you really feel, speaking truth, standing on it 100%, being intellectual, having to deal with conflict resolution, being a man of honor and law. What? They about to go play the PlayStation, smoke a blunt, chill with they bitch. They go back into adolescence. I just want to be a child, man. Being a child was so good, I just get to fantasize all day about the things I'm going to do and never do them. And then they get caught in their imagination of thinking about the failures. And then that's enough for them not to go do it. It won't work out. And they start blaming everybody but themselves. It happens with men and it happens with women. Women usually go through a breakup and it breaks that bubble of that little girl and now they're ready to be a grown woman. Because that fantasy that they was able to live in, it got bust. So if we don't have a culture with rites of passage, we never actually grow. We get stuck and we stay as little boys. So my whole thing was always facing challenges because my older brother, my pops, life will always put me through challenges to where I got to know myself, right? It could be some of the stuff I ain't gonna say. It could be dealing with a woman. You afraid to go talk to her because in your mind, you imagining failure, right? So well, my brother would be like, look, either you go speak with her, I'm gonna beat your ass. So I'm like, damn. I'd rather deal with this, her turning me down, than I know I really gonna have to fight you. So what I'm doing, I'm moving forward, right? Move forward, I walk up to the girl. How you doing? Let me get your number. Simple. She like, sure. Write it down on my hand. And now it broke all of those bubbles I had in my head. All of those fears that was false that I was conjuring up that wasn't even reality. Right? So now it's informing me about it. Now I'm feeling like a player. Now I want to go do some real things. But that's the same thing in life. When I complete one thing, it gives me past positive proof about my abilities. Somebody got to send you on a mission. You don't even believe you can do it. But then when you go get it done, you're like, wait a minute. Damn, I actually got through that challenge. So now those challenges in life don't become such a problem. So when you spoil a child, they don't have that ability to produce anything. Nobody wants to spoil food. Why you want to spoil a child? So with children, it's a very delicate balance. Because science has shown that with a child, it's not so much about telling them that they're so great and they can do this. It's really about teaching them about the effort that they put in to do something. And children that were given compliments about effort versus results, the ones that communicated the effort was the ones that were successful in life. Because when you're telling a child that they're great and, you know, they're the best to ever do it, now they've think that they've earned more than they have. Now they think that they don't really have to go do it in real life. Now, because they already think that they're great, they don't actually continue to put in effort to become great. But that child that was communicated about their effort, they like, okay, this wasn't going to be good about me. No matter what I get into, at least I'm going to put in that effort. And more effort that you put in, the better that you end up becoming. So those are the children that wasn't the A students that always got the accolades. They may have been B, they may have been C. Because you know a B student is putting in effort. So therefore, when they developed and had to go out there in the real world that requires true effort, they have a work ethic. But that child, that's like a girl that was always told she looked good. That's the only thing she developed. Ain't got a mind. Bro was told he was the greatest at football. Ain't put nothing in his mind. Right? He was already told he was good. He didn't think he had to become good. So there's a balance. And I think about my life. Ain't nobody, my older brother was supposed to be the golden child. My sister, after me, she went to the smart school, supposed to be the golden child. Me, I never even needed that validation. I talked to my mom the other day, like, always got it from things that I actually did in real life. I didn't have that expectation of somebody constantly telling me that I was great. They told me I was a god, and I informed myself on what that meant. And I had my own conversations with self when I'm in the world, telling myself what I can do. And anytime somebody told me what I couldn't do, it only made me resist that and gave me a challenge to want to go do it. So therefore, we constantly was transmuting things. And my attitude towards every single challenge in life was like, man, we got this. We gods. I remember literally sitting in the interrogation room and a cop playing that goddamn playbook with the nice cop and bad cop and trying to relate to me about his older brother going to jail. I'm like, I remember seeing this episode of Law and Order. I say, this nigga doing the same shit. And in my mind, I'm like, but he don't know I'm a god, though. He don't know nothing. No, seriously, he don't know nothing about me. He don't know I got the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He don't know I come from these different environments. He don't know that, you know, I study Masfar Muhammad. And in my mind, I'm thinking about what would they do, not what I do. I'm like, yeah, I know for a fact that if they was in my shoes, they can get out of it. So I never try to operate from my level of experience. I always try to place myself in somebody that's higher so I can emulate their thinking. Because that's what discipline is. You become a disciple of somebody else's thoughts. What would they do in this situation? So now I have their discipline. So throughout life, I've never operated from me. I don't know nothing. I'm a student. I'm learning. So now I'm able to do things beyond my years. That's what wisdom is. Not operating from your knowledge, but you tapping into the ethers. You're not operating. If when I was young, I used to really do this. I used to always try to expose myself to things that I know the average person would never think that I knew. I'm like, okay, they see me as a young black man in the hood of America, right? They think I'm ignorant. They look at the way I dress. It informs them. They have a certain attitude towards me. Now, I know that if I go study some philosophy and I bring this up in a conversation, it's going to break their bubble of what they thought about me. Now they don't know what to expect. Now they have to deal with me as I am, not what they thought. So I started learning to control the image of how the world perceived me, and it gave me a power. So throughout life, I've always done that as well. I don't want people to actually know my true power. Now they know how to estimate you. No, I'd rather be underestimated or overestimated. I'd rather have the enemy overthinking it, right, or underthinking it. But when you tell the world, we go on social media and telling the world what we do and what we know and what we don't know and what's our plans, and we show and flash every single thing, they have the perfect, correct estimation of who you are. No, you have to always be underestimated or overestimated. That's the power. So the black man in America is such a powerful force that you're the only person in America that they don't want to see rise. You're the only person in America they don't want to give a free black man in America any funds. Because when you have the money and you have the mind, you will fund your mind and start producing a different reality. Right? This is why they keep dossiers on black men who can really think, who's persuasive, who can speak. So they need to have a file on exactly who you are so that they can have an assessment to estimate your moves. So when you understand that, it don't put me in a fear. No, I'm happy. I could have been born, no disrespect, could have been born a white man. In real life. So when I look in the mirror and I see something that somebody else is hate, it's only because they're looking at their own inadequacies through me. So as a black man, the one way you can change America, if I funded y'all ideas, we get no funding. We don't ever want to see y'all with money, and we don't ever want to see y'all come together. We always want to see you have an attitude about yourself and an attitude towards each other. So you could be in a room with another 100 other black millionaires and y'all ain't gonna do shit because we already informed y'all attitude on how y'all think about each other. So now it's working on itself. So this is find your tribe season. You have to find people, not that just look like you. Nah, everybody got that same. Who's a part of your ethnic group? Who got that same values, that same mission, that same vision, those same beliefs in your proximity? Now you got my same ethnicity. There's a lot of people that look like me. You got brown skin, but that don't mean you got none of my values at all. So I don't look at what you look like. I'm trying to figure out what you think. Like, where's the alignment? Because some people, they only in it for the money. They want to get off and make a couple of dollars. They turning on you. You don't want them kind of people in your circle, right? So the goal, when you come into places like this, find your tribe. But how do they know that if you don't ever talk about your values? Right? We can easily have a discussion about top five rappers. What's the top five values? Core values. Once we do that, we start connecting for different reasons. We meet people and talk about money. Okay, we both want money. Now the whole relationship is built on money. So now you can't get mad if somebody leave you for money or only sticking with you for money. But when it's built on values, no, this is about honor, integrity. It's about respect. This is about power. You feel me? It's about like liberation. Okay, now that creates a standard for the relationship and how we build with each other. I've connected with different people all around the world. I'm speaking on creating my own stages across the planet Earth because I've known how to collaborate and not only collaborate, but to cooperate with others. Submission is power. And as a man, we don't know how to submit. I've got in ranks. I'm not the captain. I'm not the general. I got to be in that ranks. They say left fees, right fees. I got to do it. It learned to submit and it gave me peripherals to where I can see my environment while looking forward. So now I have a different gift than the average man. You got a different discipline, but we don't even want to take orders from each other. We don't know how to, at some point in time, you got to be the soldier. Sometimes you got to be the general. And it's all based on who is best to lead, who has the actual greater vision, who has the capabilities. So we be so stuck in the ego, we don't want to let somebody else that could lead, that have a greater capability. We start operating in the 48 laws of power, talking about don't make the master look good. Fuck the master. It's about the vision. So now we got to operate from those four dark traits. Now you got people who do that, and it's important. I don't think none of you all probably lack them dark traits. Probably got too many of them. But you become Machiavellian. Anybody that get in your way, you knock them down for your purpose. That's the streets teach us. You're looking at Michael Corleone. We're looking at the Machiavellis. I don't give a fuck. That's your attitude in life. But that's the way you feel like you go win, right? You become narcissistic. Everything about me. Give a fuck about nobody else. If I ain't winning, ain't nobody winning, right? Some of us become sadists to where you find pleasure in pain. So now when we see somebody else falling, it feels good, right? So when you're going through those dark triads, yeah, a woman gonna like you because those particular traits are also connected to success. It connected to confidence. It connected to a protector. So we start building those up because the world or the women sees us for that, but we don't understand we can't never cooperate with nobody else with those as well. So if you don't have those balance within your righteousness, then you don't even have control over yourself. So black men have been Frankenstein, as my brother Dr. Wesley talks about it, that the white man created the nigga. And we happy to be his monster. And he pulled the strings. He controlled the music, the thinking. He controls all of it. And we go out there being his monster, terrorizing each other, killing each other, murdering each other, hunting each other down. He ain't got to do shit but sit back like, man, I did a good job. Right? Now we not in the house, so who the fuck want to be a protector and a provider? Who want to manage this child and think about the future? I'm a monster. I don't give a fuck. I got to do what I got to do. You got nothing but them dark traits emanating. So when you learn that you a God and you care about that and you operate from that force, it changes everything you do because you bring light to everywhere you at. Now I'm in my environment. My child sees me not for what I say, but for what I do. You can tell your child all those lies in the world that you want to. They go look at you and that's going to inform them and educate them. That's their environment, what they feel and what they get from you. Child don't understand all of that. They looking at body language. They looking at your spiritual language. Pop's not doing this. Pop's not there. Absence makes me feel like he don't care. Now I feel unloved. Now it creates a trauma to where, well, shit, if I ain't love, I ain't got to love nobody. So now it becomes a cycle. So for me, going back into that God science, that's the most important thing on the planet Earth. If a black man to me don't know he God, ain't shit he can do. All the therapy in the world won't work. If you don't walk out there and that person see you and they know who you are, that's the reason they want to operate you. You're the greatest battery on the planet Earth. You power up every industry that they have. We just need to make sure that you don't ever start managing yourself. You always got to be contracted to us. You always have to come to us. But when you start thinking independent and there's black men that get in circles like this and we start talking about real power moves, and we have more communication over and over and over, bro, what can we really do? Problem is the moment we start talking about it, the attitude of, man, this shit ain't gonna work. We don't even get to that point because we already pregnated with their vision. When I go around black people and I ask them, like, yo, what's the future? And every future they tell me is something that a white man predicted. I never hear something that comes from a black mind. I ask them, what you think will happen with AI? They go to Terminator. Damn, what are your thoughts? How you gonna use it? Ain't you powerful? Ain't you dangerous? They don't mind giving a man who does not know how to operate his mind and has no dangerous thoughts, no plans, and no visions, I give you the most dangerous weapons in the world because we know you ain't gonna do shit with it. We know you're not gonna come and try to destabilize America and change infrastructure. They don't mind you getting some money when you're not dangerous. Your goal is to empower your mind. Your goal is to be like, man, if I just had this, this is exactly what I would do and follow through with it. This place right here, man, this is a place every black man in America needs to be. From the ones that's in a corporate that have to constantly give up their identity to fit in those spaces that we look at as cornballs, but really the connections that we need to change this infrastructure because they got expertise and y'all the soldiers. The soldiers is never connected to the brain trust. Just the mind that knows how to do it. Well, who the soldiers that's going to protect it? Because the moment we be like, protect, bro, at all costs. But ain't nobody actually going to fucking pay the dues. Nobody actually going to show up. So black men already know, man, I'm by myself. Niggas ain't going to help me do nothing. They help me go rob somebody and do a plot and scam and scheme. But when it comes to planning, that's different. So when I was a child, from seeing black men with power, that's why I'm not impressed with shit. I've seen black men build power, and I've seen that power fall. I've seen the reasons it fell. I've seen multiple black organizations, men with power, and I've seen the corruption, right? I've seen it grow, and I've seen it become destabilized for lack of order. So now when I move around the world, everybody else be like, bro, you doing it? Like, no, we not doing it until we go further than those that was before us, right? There was your black Muslim baker. There's no bigger thing then black Muslim bakery in America, Oakland can't move forward. We competing with the past. When I look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he talked about the $50 million of industry that they had, banks and schools and operations. And we got way more resources today to put together something like that. We ain't did shit yet then. Right? Huey P. Newton had a beautiful breakfast program and he had a coalition of brothers who understand the legalese of the law. And he was able to organize with the sisters in operation. Unless we look at the blueprints of those who were before us and saying, thank you, you've made all the mistakes I do not have to make now. I can study your success and study your failure and inform me to make better decisions in the now. And now we got so many tools that if we utilize social media, right, and we was to actually operate utilizing it for something worthy, man, it'd be a dangerous tool. Dangerous tool. But as soon as we got a beef, everybody will go to their platform and utilize their platform and all their influence to speak on it. As soon as we got a politician, everybody go vote for Sleepy Joe, right? Go vote for this nigga Trump. Man, the whole year, you ain't use your platform one time to up one and campaign for one black man in America that you think is doing something. So I don't be believing none of these niggas because I done met them all and ain't nobody about shit. So at this point of operation, the real work that happens is this type of work. You feel me? And if we build something, and this is the opportunity for this generation to have a different kind of mind and be like, all right, actually do what you say when you actually get the resources, right? Because the problem is when you don't have, white people don't have to do anything by themselves. There's impossible that there will be a Jewish man that becomes a thought leader of the world and another Jewish man don't come behind him and give him backing and funding and resources and protection. Impossible. They would never let that happen. No white man would ever let somebody be out there on their own just building and saying, well, I'm watching you. Whatever you do, you just do. That's all we do. We are followers, not supporters. I'm watching you, bro. What the fuck you watching? Get involved.
That's right.
They tell me, I know how hard this shit is. This shit dangerous for you, ain't it? Yes. You feel me? Like, damn, hey, bro, you doing that shit by yourself. That's crazy. They start listening to all the problems. Goddamn, yes, you trying to goddamn give me trauma right now, man. I'll try to be focused. Yeah, all of that, what you said is true, but it don't have to be.
That's right.
You feel me? So when I meet people that I feel like doing something real, man, I want them on my platform. But then there's a strategy towards everything. Because we be feeling like we deserve to be somewhere. And like, no, there's a strategy in life. The moment that, let me tell you when you're strategizing in life. Is when you take a step back from what you're doing and you start to look at the playing field and you start thinking, that's strategizing. Then you take further steps back. That's when you start to create a campaign, right? War generals always had a strategy and always had a campaign. Greatest general of all time, Hannibal Barker. It was one time, it was this big ass rock in the middle of the road. And he was so smart, he knew how to think, and it was nothing that could ever get in his way. So what he did was, a bunch of hot water onto the rock. Bunch of hot water. Then after that, they took all of their cold wine and they poured it on it and then they cracked the rock. And other generals throughout time took that as a lesson, like this is what they did with piss and wine. Now, what can we do with technology? What can we do with this access to be able to communicate with another black man all across the planet with resources? That rock still in your way? So I don't think like that. There ain't no fucking rock in my way. I'm going to piss on it and get it out the way, utilizing the science, because that's all he did. He understood the science. But we be stuck in the magic and don't understand the science, and that's all black people need right now is the science. All brown people need is the science. We got all the magic. Once you get the science, now you can take over industries. Now you can create institutions. We got all the arts in the world. We need scientists. We need technologists. We need engineers. We need architects. We need mathematicians, right? That's how you put the STEM back into the culture, because all we got is the arts, so we ain't got no STEAM. Marcus Garvey created STEAM. We got arts and entertainment, and anytime there's something going on, we go to an artist to talk about science, math, and politics. He don't know nothing about that shit, but he's popular. So once we change that, and there's more black men that are thinkers and calculated, now you're dangerous. Now you get the Merkah, like Moyati, what's his name? The Book of Five Rings. He was a famous, famous, famous samurai who never lost. And he talked about that power that you can develop to where you have that gift to see what your enemy is doing before they do it. And he said, if a man ever gets that ability, that gift to think clear, to be able to tune in on what their enemy is doing, now he has the wisdom of strategy. Once you get that wisdom of strategy, now you know how to move. Now you're forcing their attitude to think about you a certain way so that you can control the whole operation. You have to let them think that we ain't about to do shit. Keep dressing the way you're dressing. But behind that, it's a mind that's changing. Behind that, you change your attitude, the way you see your brother, the way you see yourself, the way you see your child, the way you see a woman. Now, when the whole entire attitude of Black America changes, it changes the world, because everybody follows us. I said I ain't have something on the mind in the speech, but seeing y'all in them circles, seeing some of y'all pain, seeing some of y'all finally have visibility, finally have somebody listening, come into a place and feeling alive. Because all the time we feel invisible, really. You see me for this. You care if I got some money or a car or some motion, but you don't really see me for who I am. You don't care about my feelings. You don't care about how I'm thinking. You don't care about my flaws. I don't even feel like asking nobody for help, because I don't think you actually want to help. So when Mr. Fabian created environments like this, this is fatherhood. Father ain't just somebody you biologically connected to. It's someone that elevates you. So when you're getting that fathering from each other, and that brothering from each other, right? Now it's restoring everything that we lost. Now we healing. Now we operating from that God mind. Now when I see my brother gave me help, I got the right attitude towards him. Now I got the right attitude towards myself. Man, if he can goddamn see me for worth, I can see myself for worth. Now we start operating with that I am. And now anything that we do and we go out there on the planet Earth, we already know we can conquer it. That's my time, man. I appreciate y'all.
Are we low level or high level?
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.